the first question I got is, could you tell me a little bit about your background, about what you do, education, and probably career history as well?
Sure, Yopi. I came out to Australia in 1997 with my family originally, and I immediately fell in love with Australia. I love the sense of meritocracy in this country and the sense of possibility, the real Australian can do attitude. And so when my family moved back after I finished secondary school, I decided to stay in Australia.
Okay.
And I went through university here on an international scholarship to study law as well as international relations.
Yep.
And after doing some studies overseas at the University of Vienna as well as at the Australian National University here in Australia, in Canberra, I finished my university studies with an honours degree in law as well as my international relation studies as well.
Okay.
So and that was in 2004, and after that I did my graduate diploma in legal practice.
Which is what you're doing
now. Does that give you an idea?
Yep, it does. So where do you originally came from?
I'm originally from Sweden, far up north in Europe. So Australia is pretty much as far away as you can get from my old home city, which is Stockholm.
Okay, but you've developed the Australian accent by now.
I think so. My girlfriend keeps telling me that I should get my Swedish accent back, but it's a hard case when you've been out here for 10 years, I think.
Yes, it is. Well, I've been here for about more than 7 years myself, but I haven't developed the accent yet. So probably it's different from each person, I guess.
I came out here at a pretty early age. I was only 16 when I came out. So I think during those very formative years, it's... that's really when you pick up the Australian accent, I think.
Yeah, I came here when I was 14, so but that doesn't make any difference, probably. Well, could you also tell me about what you're doing, what Think is currently involved in, and what kind of training programs do Think offer?
Okay. I'll give you a little bit of a background as to what Think stands for.
Yep.
Essentially, when we conceived of the idea and the motivations behind the brand and the company, we wanted it to be funky, to be fresh, and to be fun, and really to bring personal development as a concept into the 21st century, sort of away from the old school rah-rah motivational seminars of the past that we have all seen at the late or wee hours of the morning on television, and really make it fresh, funky, and fun for younger people in the Generation Y and Generation X demographics. So that was the original idea behind the company, and I guess if you look at the logo, it's a doodle, and we think that creativity and innovation often begins with doodling. So we're all about fresh perspectives, funky, unique perspectives. And within the name, it's a little bit of a play on words, both thinking, of course, and also unique perspectives. But in there you have the I and the Q and the E, sort of connoting IQ as well as EQ, which, of course, is emotional intelligence. So that's what the company is all about, just quickly. We run programs, both corporate ones as well as public seminars, where we certify in the techniques that we use. And they include such things as NLP, which stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming, as well as hypnosis and timeline therapy, which are two other very cutting-edge change technologies and methods. Does that give you an answer?
Yes, it does. Just want to elaborate on the neuro-linguistic programming itself. Does it actually got something to do with your communication skill and how you can improve it as well?
Of course, yeah, you're right on the spot, Yopi. The fundamental premise of NLP, which is really, when we're speaking about it in layman's terms, it is street smart psychology with results. The premise behind NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, as you elaborate, is to develop both your internal and your external communication, because we believe that communication determines all of your results, both, of course, your internal communication and your external communication. So the way you communicate your own confidence, your own beliefs, your own values, and making sure you're congruent and really sure of who you are as a person, what you stand for, and then being able to think innovatively and actually express and translate that internal communication to the world, to your peers, to your friends, to your family, to the people you're marketing to in the marketplace. A presentation the other night by a colleague of mine who's a Canadian coach and was voted the Canadian Coach of the Year in 2006. And he spoke about entrepreneurship specifically within the coaching and training profession. And he said, at the end of the day, whether you're a laborer, whether you're a handyman, or whether you're a coach, at the end of the day, you're just an entrepreneur who's doing the stuff, taking a novel idea and making something concrete from it. That's the way I think of it. And I guess that sort of entails the mindset, the belief, the critical faculty to be able to think innovatively and to have then the confidence and the action to actually be able to implement something that just springs up as an idea and actually taking it and concretizing it and realizing it so that you can bring a benefit and a value to the marketplace and those people around you that value that really matter to you.
So in your opinion, is entrepreneurship something that is you're naturally equipped with, or something that you developed throughout the time?
I think with everything, Yopi, that it really can be developed. It really flows from your own communication, how you communicate with yourself, and then how you communicate that to the world. I think if you were to ask people whether they're an entrepreneur or not, most people may say, well, probably not. But I think people have an innate ability to do something that is entrepreneurial, to really take an idea and go out there with the right proactivity and the right innovation to take something that they're truly passionate about and develop something that they can take to the market. Yeah. Little Dells, your Muhammad Yusuf, who was the person behind Grameen.
Yep.
And you see them taking ideas and bringing it to a global scale, and that's really impressive from my perspective. But I do think it is something that everyone can develop and everyone can do successfully.
Mm-hmm. And for yourself, how do you actually identify the entrepreneurial opportunities? For example, when you start to be the founder of Think, what do you actually have in mind? Why do you have to start that business, and how are you going to start that business?
That's a great question, and I guess the answer to it is a multitude of answers or a multivarious response. I was really at a crossroads in my life back 2 or 3 years ago, where the obvious choices for me in terms of career were either to go into a high-level international diplomacy or to go into corporate law. And the aspect of international diplomacy that I didn't really like, that never really gelled with me, was the notion of not really speaking one's mind, always representing a government, someone who's above, who's sort of directing and shaping what you can tell other people. Nonetheless, I did really enjoy the relationships with people from, you know, a multitude of backgrounds and the unique perspectives that they were able to offer me, and that's something I really thrive on. However, it didn't quite fit 100% right with me. With corporate law, I immediately recognized that there was a market gap for cross-generational communication. Partners, senior associates, and graduates weren't communicating effectively with one another.
Mm-hmm.
So I really thought of personal development and professional development and the skills I've developed over my lifetime as something that could bridge the two, in a sense, some of the shortfallings in human one-to-one relationships within the international relation community, as well as some of the shortfalls within the corporate law community. and especially those communication problems that I clearly saw within some of the top-tier law firms.
Yep. So do you get any professional training to get to where you are now?
Yeah, for sure. I have, since finishing my university studies and engaged in a career within NLP and gone through all the different stages from your basic NLP training, which certifies you as a practitioner, through to master practitioner and then NLP trainer.
Okay.
The same levels I've also attained within timeline therapy, as well as hypnosis. So I'm a certified trainer in all of those methodologies. And in fact, I went to the extent of actually getting certified twice as a trainer by two different very well-known international NLP trainers and master trainers in these methodologies. And then since then, I've also engaged on a certificate 4 in training and assessment, which is a government regulated scheme here in Australia.
Okay. Another question is: do you have any inspirations? Like, do you actually have any person that you admire, or probably your role model in doing this kind of training?
I guess one of the clearest examples for me, Yopi, would be the great tennis player and mentor, which is Andre Agassi.
Yep.
And I just, as I grew up in Sweden, everyone else was sort of supporting Stefan Edberg and Bjorn Borg and Mats Wilander, and I was kind of running around on the tennis court always admiring Andre Agassi for his real ambition to stand out, to play the game really well, but just doing it differently.
Yep.
And communicating differently. And while he went through some personal challenges after his first few early successes, he really staged a phenomenal comeback